Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Tournament week. Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air. Glad you're with us wherever you're tuned in this afternoon. Whatever Super Talk station or whether it be online, we don't care. We're just glad you're with us, and we're glad you join us each and every Monday. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bank Course Studio in Hattiesburg and Laurel this afternoon. Bob, Dima, and Luke. We're glad you're with us. Opening segment of the show is sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, a great supporter of Southern Miss. Great place to take your family, great place to cater your next event, whether it be an athletic event, your church, your business, your home, whatever. They do a great job of catering at Dickey's. And next time you got a special occasion, be sure you check them out before you place your order. All right, it's Monday. We normally talk to Coach Christian Ostrander, but he is on the road today. He was up in Jackson at the Boo Ferris Awards. We're just going to skip right on past that. We're glad to have Ladd Rhodes with us, assistant coach on the baseball team, and no stranger to Southern Miss, and obviously a big part of the success this year. Coach, first of all, let me just say congratulations to you and all the staff. I mean, I just think when you consider that, as Rick Cleveland pointed out in an article Wednesday, the baseball team lost 70% of its roster last year, and here you sit right on the verge of another 40-win season and certainly one of the favorites here to compete for the tournament championship. Great job on your part, Coach, and the entire staff working with this young team. What a great year this has been.
Well, I appreciate y'all saying that, but that's largely due to the fact that the group of guys we have in that locker room and the belief they have and how far this group's come since we've started here in August, and especially now, you know, at the start of the season, where we're at and where we are now. I think that's a big, big part of why the success we've had is just that group in the locker room has been unbelievable. They've been fun to coach and fun to get after with every day.
Coach, much like last year when the Golden Eagles went out to Coastal and I think it's fair to say we're embarrassed twice by the Chanticleers out there. They just seem to take that personally, and they went on a tear the rest of the year. I see a similar trend since the Georgia State game where the team didn't play particularly well, and seems like since then it's just been a tear. And what a great time to get on a hot streak like you're on right now.
It is. I agree. I think it's eerily just similar how from that weekend and then the midweek from last year with Tulane coming back to win, I think ours was the same with Nicholls State and kind of got the ball rolling a little bit. But, again, that's just these guys, and I think they just got, I say embarrassed, but tired of going back and forth, and they stepped up and took control. And ever since then, they've been rock and rolling. It's been fun to watch them.
Coach, we've seen this lineup change in so many ways throughout the season. Going into the tournament, do you feel like you're at a good spot with where the lineup is and as far as positioning? And, when you look at the teams that you could play on Wednesday, is there one that you prefer or is it you don't really care?
No, I think at this point in the year, I said it doesn't matter who you play. I don't mean that as a cocky statement, but everybody's playing for a championship. And so you're going to play a good team, and you're going to get their best. And so you just got to be ready to line it up and get after it. And like you said a minute ago, I think right now we're playing some of our best baseball, and so our guys should have all the confidence in the world, no matter who they play, no matter where we go or any situation like that. So, yeah, from a lineup standpoint, I think we really like where we're at. I think, you know, some guys have found some rhythm at different spots, and we still got a couple guys where we can play some matchups. So our guys got a lot of confidence right now and look to continue that.
Luke?
Coach, thanks for coming on today. We saw this weekend, as it's been all season long, and we've talked to Oz about this, we've talked to Creel about this, the catching position seems to be wide open. Is it continuing to be wide open as we head into postseason play?
Yeah, I would say so. You got three guys back there that do a heck of a job, and so we're comfortable running any of those three out there at any point in time. I think you're part trying to play some matchups from who you're facing on the mound. I think is the biggest thing is who the other guy is and who's throwing and who we think fits that best. And then also you kind of look at who's pitching, what guy can handle the starter the best and all that, and who they're comfortable in throwing to as well. And so I think fortunate enough for us, if you look at some of the rest of the teams in the country, we're fortunate enough to have three guys we trust to put back there. I don't know how many teams in the country have that.
We've talked last 3 weeks a lot about Matthew Russo. And for you, different from Creel, just because Creel has watched him grow, but you being in the dugout with him, you know, for the first time this year, and where has he progressed from the time that you came to, you know, what he did Saturday, just the rocket that ended up, you know, allowing us to take the lead late in game three?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for Bull is he's always been talented, and he made some adjustments this fall and early spring, but I think just from being around him, even since I've been here in August, is just the maturity in him and the confidence grow. From the fall till now, and when he steps in the box, we have just as much confidence in him as any of them. And so I think that's the biggest thing, is mentally slowing the game down. And you know, he really kind of dives in on some, you know, analytics of what the pitcher has, and from a pitch standpoint, and what to maybe sit on, and have confidence and trust in that plan approach and reacting. But I would think the biggest thing on my end is just how much he's grown mentally, the confidence he has, and what he's been able to continue to do. It's been fun to watch, that's for sure.
Well, there's no question, but there's probably nobody on the team hitting the ball any better than Slade Wilks and Ozzie Pratt. Coach Rhodes, what happens when kids just turn it on the way those two guys have at the plate?
I don't know. I'd love to be able to answer that 100%, but I don't think as a player I ever turned it on like they did. So I don't know where I don't know where they're at mentally, but they got to feel good. No, I think it's obviously baseball is a really hard game, and I think both of them have had their ups and downs early on this year. And then when you kind of find that groove and confidence is just, it's contagious and it's a drug. It really is. You step in the box, and that's the biggest part of it, is mentally where you're at, where your headspace is at. And those two have just continued to kind of be even keel all year. And then obviously when it's mattered most, those two have stepped up offensively and really carried us. It's been fun. It really has. Every time they step in the box, something exciting happens. So, no, they got to be seeing some meatballs when they're in the play. They're seeing it well right now.
Yeah, well, you can look at Slade and tell why he can hit the ball so hard, but Ozzie's not a very big guy, Coach, and I'm telling you, he's roping them.
He is. Ozzie's a baller, man. He's the dirt bag. He's going to get after it. He's not scared at any moment. He wants to be in the box when it matters most, and he's strong now. Don't let him fool you. He's got some bat speed and some twitch in there, and he can run the ball out of the yard, but I like when he hits that pull side double and you see him start scooting around the bases. That's what's fun for me as well.
I guess, you know, we've talked about Pratt being kind of that, if we hadn't had Dustin Dickerson in the past several seasons, you know, Ozzie Pratt would be the best shortstop. I want to kind of give you another frame of that question. What has Ozzie Pratt done this season that has surprised you, that maybe you didn't expect for him to do coming into the year?
I think just the consistency that he's had, and obviously that's shown him being able to play at this level the past year or two. I think, you know, he was a guy that we talked about before the season that thought Pete Taylor Park would just bring his game even to a higher level, and I think it has. I think he lives for the moment. He's not afraid to run from it, and he's just a baller. He's a scrappy dude and gets after it. I think for me, I was interested just consistently how he'd be at shortstop day in, day out. You know, you compare it to Dustin. Dustin was a sure-handed glove there, and Ozzie's done the same. He's played at a high level, and he's got a bazooka for an arm as well. So he gets to a lot of baseballs, and he can make some plays for us. So I think I don't know if at the plate it was a surprise. We were kind of expecting him. He'd be one of our guys, but defensively he's just been consistent every day and locked down that shortstop position and done it at a high level.
Just a minute left in this segment, Coach, but I'll get your thoughts about this as we go to break. I'm at one point Saturday looking out on the field, and I'm counting nine kids on the field that all nine will be back next year. As a coach, you got to feel pretty good about the future of this team when you consider all the really young players that are performing at this level.
There's no doubt. I think that's extremely exciting. You know, as you try not to, but you look ahead as you're recruiting for next year, you look at your lineup and go, shoot, almost our whole lineup's back and guys on the mound as well. And so you've seen the growth from, you know, from February to now. You look at where they're at for a year from now, and it's extremely exciting. We're looking forward to it.
And I get the impression there's such a culture, and we never know for sure in today's world, but such a culture and such a brotherhood, little chance that we're going to lose any of these guys.
Yeah, you know, you would hope not. You never know until it happens, basically, but I wouldn't think so. You have guys like Slade Wilkes and Carson Pato, who, you know, leaders in this locker room, and you have guys who will step up and be that, and they created a culture and a standard here, and it's a brotherhood. They don't want to disappoint the guy next to them, and I hope not. I hope they all stay around for a while, so we'll see.
We do too, Coach. We're talking to Coach Ladd Rhodes about Golden Eagle baseball. We'll be on the road tomorrow and Wednesday. We'll be broadcasting. Deeb and I will be at Montgomery, and Deema, being the new guy on the crew, gets to buy everybody's dinner every night. We had told you about that part, have we, Dina?
I had not heard that.
Okay.
He's technically still a college student. I mean, he's not an undergrad anymore, so he does have a little more bougie available.
Well, maybe we'll go to Taco Bell or something like that. More with Coach Rhodes right after this.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air. This segment sponsored by Campus Bookmart and campusbookmart.net right there on Hardy Street. You can always shop them online and have the stuff delivered right to your front door. Better though, to go see Miss Kathleen, Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street. Want to thank Town & Country Cleaners for their sponsorship of our program. Family owned and operated since 1983, offering great services like steam pressing, shirt laundry, bulky bedding, minor alterations, and of course dry cleaning. You can visit Town & Country Cleaners at their convenient location across from USM on Hardy Street, or you can call them at 601-264-4920. We're talking to baseball coach Ladd Rhodes, who was on the Super Talk Eagle Hour today, and we're very, very glad to have you. All right, Coach, what's the schedule between now and the time the Golden Eagles take the field? And, you know, what's the mindset of the ball team after another great week at Pete Taylor?
Yeah, we'll get out here today and practice a little bit, move around, nothing too crazy. And then we'll practice tomorrow before we leave. I think we'll head out about lunch or so and get to Montgomery and settle in and probably watch a little baseball and figure out who we're playing at 12:30 on Wednesday. But I know the guys are excited and ready to keep playing ball together and ready to keep after it and keeping this thing going.
And we came out of the weekend and the week, I'm going to assume, injury-free, pretty healthy going into the tournament?
Yeah, everybody's pretty healthy. You know, at this point in the season, a couple guys banged up and just little things, but everybody will be ready to go.
Hey, before I throw it back to the guys, were you, like me, a little surprised at just how juiced up the place was Saturday afternoon? It was a big crowd, and man, it was vocal. It had kind of a tournament atmosphere to the place Saturday.
It was. It was rocking. It was an unbelievable atmosphere. Like I say, it kind of surprised me. I thought I got my days mixed up and thought it was Sunday and thought this was an awesome crowd for a Sunday game, and realized it was Saturday. But it was. I think that was a big reason of our guys kind of getting a little extra juice and energy and finishing that thing off.
Yeah, we had and I forget, Luke, you may remember which play-by-play guy it was. I just can't remember now. But made the comment to us here in recent weeks that that it's not only the best atmosphere in the Sun Belt, it's one of the great college baseball atmospheres in the entire country. And I don't think there's any argument about that, Coach Rose.
No, it is. It's unbelievable. To see, you know, just the little things and what means a lot to our guys, watching the Slade Wilks, you know, walk down on senior day and the crowds on their feet going nuts, and all of our seniors, of how much it means to our guys to come out and see the place packed and rocking it is. It's one of the best atmospheres in the country.
All right, Luke, I understand you have a story about Coach Rhodes.
Well, I mean, he was there, and he will laugh at this. Okay. He actually may remember this. So from 2017 to 2020, I was the interim pastor at First Baptist Church Ellisville and was tight with Chris Robinson, softball coach, and with Kirkland, his baseball coach. And you may remember this, Coach Rhodes, you may not, but Kirkland basically told me to come out and take BP one day. So I got in one of the groups. Now, back in the day, I was an all-state catcher at West Jones, but I had not swung a baseball bat in about 8 years. And I jumped in there, and I think it was you and Kirkland and whoever else, and they were standing right behind the cage. And I was 5 light years in front of every pitch that was thrown to me. And I didn't whiff a baseball through the first 3 rounds. Now, Bob, what's going on is, you got to understand, I am whiffing. I'm not fouling. I'm not tipping anything. And the Jones coaches, particularly Kirkland, were behind it. Man, we got to get you coached up. Man, we got to get you right. Man, we got to get you hitting better. And it was in the middle of practice. They started coaching me up in the middle of batting practice, I guess, not to embarrass the other guys. Long and short of it is, I finally hit some line drives to the left field. But I mean – go ahead.
I remember you coming out. I do. I do remember that. I don't remember you hitting as much, which I guess may be a, that would be a good thing.
That was right.
I don't know. I remember you coming out, though.
You didn't remember them line drives you just described, did you?
It was like
ground out to the pitcher.
Yeah. There were like 5 cycles, and I didn't breathe on one until about midway through the fourth. But anyway, I say all that to say, I know you're – We didn't really get a chance to talk to you in the fall, but man, you know, your previous experience in South Mississippi and now back with some of your buddies, I know you have thoroughly enjoyed this first year.
Yeah, it's been kind of everything you could ask for, being back here at Southern Miss and this program, and obviously how big of a program this is. But, you know, also being to work with good people. Obviously, I've looked up to Coach Ostrander for a long time. I played for him. He hired me as a GA at Jones in 2014, and then Travis Creel is one of my best friends growing up playing against him and growing up together a little bit, and then with Brewer and Coach Bradford and Danny, it's nice to come to work today every day with guys, you know, you respect and you like a lot, and enjoy being around the office. So no, it's been awesome. It's great for me and my family, being close to home, that's for sure.
Dima?
Yeah, Coach, kind of what you just said, this year is you've seen a lot of crazy games and crazy moments. You know, you had leads, you give up leads, you come back. How important is kind of the up and downs of the year going into a tournament, you know, because you're going to have a lot of up and down games, and just seeing your guys' response to that. I think the resilience of this team has really been heightened over the last, especially, few months.
Yeah, I agree. I think that was the biggest thing for this group early on. It was a new group and a young group, and we had a lot of close ball games we lost. I don't know how many one-run games we probably lost early that you look back and go, golly, we should have won that game. But kind of, you know, towards the early middle of the season was learning how to win those games and not making it bigger than it was. And I think they've just done a good job. You know, being in those moments, I think, is going to pay off tremendously for being in those tight games and those one-run games. So, postseason baseball, I think that's where it relates most. So I think our guys are ready for it and ready to go play.
Coach, you've been elsewhere in your coaching career, and you most recently at Nicholls State. Kind of put in perspective for our listeners how other programs view the Southern Miss baseball program.
Yeah, I can. You know, I got a great example being at Nicholls last year, working for Mike Silva, who, you know, he was the assistant coach and pitching coach for Louisiana Tech, you know, those years in 20 and 21 and 19, those battles of going back and forth with Louisiana Tech, and the amount of respect that, you know, a guy who won some of those battles and went back and forth, you know, the amount of respect he had for this program, for Coach Barry, for Coach Ostrander, working with Travis, you know, that's just a small example. But, yeah, no, around the country, I think Southern Miss is is well respected, and that's obviously due to the great players that have come through here and built this program up and won at a high level. And so, no, I think certainly it's viewed as one of the top programs in the country.
Well, it's always been a really good program, but am I right or wrong about this? It just seems like in the last 3 to 4 years, maybe 5 years, it's just it kind of reached another level, a new level, and I really think it's become one of the elite programs in the country.
I do. I agree spot on. I think really since, you know, during the COVID year and after that year since 21 with what the guys were able to do here, hosting that regional and 22 and then going to the regional in 21 and making noise in Oxford and then 22, you know, winning that thing against LSU here, I think that kind of even helped Moore take to the next step, and they're doing a great job.
Coach, can you just speak on Christian Ostrander coming in with this new lineup and the job he has done? You know, winning Saturday he's the only coach to ever reach 37 wins in his first season, and just how unbelievable is it to see where y'all stand at this juncture in the season?
Yeah, he's the best. He's a leader. You know, those guys, they'll run through a wall for him, and I think when you have that trust and loyalty as a player from your head coach and then vice versa, I think that goes a long way. Asking your guys to try and get the most out of him every day and just the consistency of who he's been, you know, in that dugout and talking with the team and keeping a great headspace with these guys through our ups and downs, I think that's one of the biggest things. And knowing, like I said again, that he's got their back at any point in time, when you have that, those guys will do whatever for you. And so I think he's done a great job being able to manage this thing. You know, being in a new seat and at a program like this, it's definitely not easy whatsoever. And so being able to still manage the pitching staff while also putting a lineup together is extremely difficult to do, and I think he's done a great job of it.
Now, go ahead. Coach Rhodes, about Oz, does anybody ever poke fun at him at his walk to the mound strut? Has anybody ever noticed that or said anything to him about that?
No, I know he does have a certain walk about him, but nobody really pokes that. If we make fun of anything, it's the music we got to listen to every day during BP, all the Grateful Dead and all that. Our players, that's the one thing our guys give them a hard time about.
Coach Barry's up in the suite doing turkey calls. He saw that turkey strut out to the mound. And, anyway.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
My favorite strut's when he waits for the official to come out because he's peeved at the official and going to get a few words with the official before he goes back. He's pretty good. Now, Coach, about 30 seconds left. I know you said you were big friends with Travis Creel, and we are here as well. Can we say that you guys are satisfied to put the Fire Creel crowd to bed the way you did this year with this batting performance?
Oh, man, that's awesome. That's funny. No, I mean, it's you look back at the past couple of years, the success that Southern Miss has had, and obviously there's been some dominant guys on the mound that have done it, but, you know, hitting 80-plus homers and what they've done consistently here, it kind of goes unnoticed a little bit. And then just the demand of getting young guys to fill big roles early on. I think our big hitters weren't swinging it well, and so you're relying on some younger guys to do it, and his voice and leadership and what he's been able to do with our offense, man, it's been awesome. And so I think we all knew it was kind of possible. We just didn't know when or you know, how soon. But these guys have stepped up and grown so much, and I think big credit to that is due to Coach Creel.
And I will tell you, there's been a couple of Wednesdays when he's come on, we've given him a Fire Creel chant before we've gone on the air. So.
Good, keep doing it. I like it. That's funny.
Hey, great having you on the show, Coach. We look forward to seeing you in Montgomery this week.
Absolutely. Thank you all.
All right, Lad Rhodes, everybody. Fire Creel, Fire Creel. there we go. We'll be right back.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, don't forget the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. You can hear it anytime you like on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We appreciate everybody that does that. And, of course, we will be in Montgomery starting Wednesday at 1 o'clock. Dima and I will be broadcasting from Riverfront Stadium 1 to 2 on Wednesday, 1 to 3 on Thursday, 1 to 2 on Friday. Really looking forward to that. Got a bunch of great guests lined up, and we're going to look forward to bringing all of that to you. Tomorrow on the show, Joy Lee McNellis, going to have an extended interview with her about her health, about the future of the basketball program, about some new players coming in, and also Andrew Abbedee will join us and give us his preview of the upcoming baseball tournament. Golden Eagles in two national polls this week, second week at number 25 for Baseball America. We want to congratulate D1, who remembered that we have a baseball program, and put us back in their poll as the 25th team in the nation in the D1 poll. All right, Luke, how did it all wrap up in the Sun Belt this weekend? What are the regional projections? Give us all the skinny.
So over the weekends, basically how the Sun Belt ended up, Louisiana wins the regular season championship and with 23-7. Southern Miss finishes second all alone at 20-10. Troy in third at 18-12. James Madison and Georgia Southern both finish at 17-13. App State finishes at 16-13-1. Coastal finishes 16-14. Old Dominion at 15-15. South Alabama 14-16. Texas State and Georgia State both finished at 13-17. ULM at 11-19. Marshall at 9-21. Arkansas State 7-22-1. Texas State, ULM, Marshall, and Arkansas State did not make the Sun Belt tournament. So let's talk about the Sun Belt bracket. And for anybody, any of our listeners that don't know how that works, Dima, let's talk through this. So basically, 10 teams make it. Mm-hmm. So everybody but Texas State, ULM, Marshall, and Arky State.
Yep.
And so the way this works is the bottom four teams, which would be Georgia State, South Alabama, Old Dominion, and Coastal. Dima, those four teams play a single game elimination, almost play-in.
Yeah, it's a play-in.
And that happens tomorrow.
Yep.
And then it turns into a 8-team double elimination tournament.
Yeah, it basically turns into two regionals, actually, is how it works. And then you have a single game on Sunday for the championship. So, you know, you have the 1v4, quote-unquote, playing, and then the 2v3 playing in the first rounds. And then those two winners would play each other. Then the losers of those two games play each other. And then the winner of that second game would go into Saturday semifinals undefeated. And whoever plays them on Saturday would have to beat them twice to make the championship game, just like a regional where you win the first two games, you make it to Sunday night undefeated, you have to be beaten twice.
So the way it looks tomorrow, the way they're seeded is – tomorrow, the tournament gets underway at 3 p.m. Coastal Carolina is seeded seventh. They take on Georgia State, who's number 10. The game following that at 6:30, and we should note that all tournament times are what?
Subject to change.
Old Dominion is number 8. South Alabama is number 9. Here's where it gets, you know, a little tricky as far as understanding. So Louisiana will play the lowest seeded team. Southern Miss will play the highest seeded team of those four teams. So if Georgia State wins as the 10 seed, Louisiana will play them. No questions asked. If Coastal wins, Southern Miss will play Coastal. No questions asked. If Georgia State were to win, Southern Miss would then turn around and play the winner of South Alabama and Old Dominion. So the way that the bracket sets up, Southern Miss is on the same side of the bracket as App State and Troy. Louisiana is on the same side of the bracket as Georgia Southern and James Madison. Not thinking about, or let's start this first, Dima. Would you rather play Coastal, South Alabama, or Old Dominion in your first game of the tournament, which would be Wednesday at 12:30 p.m.?
Personally, I would rather play South Alabama or Old Dominion. I think it's very hard to beat a Coastal team four times in a row since Southern Miss has already swept them. It's also important to note that Coastal Carolina and Georgia State have played this season in a series. Coastal took that series 2-3, they won the first game 17-13. Georgia State beat them 9-10 in the next game, and then 17-7 run-ruled them in the third game, all those games being in Conway. So it will be interesting to see both these squads because both of them play in what we call a smaller ballpark. So it will be interesting to see this game in a minor league park, I think. Actually, I think that's going to be a really good game.
Not what we call a smaller ballpark, what it is actually.
It is, actually, yeah. So
follow up on that.
Yeah.
Take whoever, because we don't know who they will play first game. Are you thankful or to be on the same side as App and Troy? You beat Troy. You haven't played App. The flip side is Louisiana, you lost that series. Georgia Southern, you lost that series. JMU, you didn't play.
I mean, I think all of those teams are equally as good. I would have liked to have traded Georgia Southern for App State because I think App State is actually fighting for a regional berth. I think they're right on the cusp, and I do think if they won a couple in the tournament, they could get there. Whereas I think Troy, Southern Miss, and Louisiana are all locked in a regional, and App State, they're really good. I think they're a sleeper pick to win the tournament.
Bob, I know that you would not want to play South Alabama in the first game.
Well, I did go to the South Alabama this year. They don't really look all that great to me. I know what you're referring to, and that would be the jinx. I will tell you both that I had a conversation this morning with one of your associates, Andrew Abbott. He says he believes that App State is the dark horse, yep, dangerous team in the tournament. I tend to agree with that. Two or three weeks ago, I would have said Georgia Southern, but they seem to have faded a little bit. I will say this about Georgia State and App State. You know, all those home runs become long fly balls in a park like Riverfront Park. So I'm kind of with Dima here, Luke. The one that worries me a little bit, I think, more than the others, would be a fourth game right now with Coastal Carolina. I do realize they're not playing very well, but, you know, they are talented, and they would have the ability, I think, to wake up, and we wouldn't want them to wake up at 12:30 on Wednesday, would we?
No, and that's a fair point. But if you remember, this is, you know, last week, 2 weeks ago, Travis Creel brought it up. The benefit of getting the two seed, if you can't get the one seed, seed, all of those teams that you will play have already used one game of pitching. So what we're hoping tomorrow at 3 o'clock and at 6:30 is that these turn into 15 to 14 yeah, barn burners, yeah, where they use, you know, five, six guys out of the bullpen. Right. Of course, they would save their game two starter. But
and Luke,
here's the trade-off. Because it's single elimination, who will they use in a very, very tight game in order to extend their tournament life?
Yeah, and I think it's crucial that they're playing Georgia State for Southern Miss's, you know, chances, I think, because Georgia State can hit the ball, man, as Southern Miss knows very well. And you could very well see a ton of pitchers come out in all the games I just mentioned the last time these two teams played, 17-12, 11-10, 17-8. I mean, tons of runs being scored, tons of pitchers. I think it's crucial for Southern Miss that Coastal's playing Georgia State first.
Yeah, absolutely. The problem with the bracket to me, and see if you guys, Dima, you mentioned it. If you're Southern Miss, you win game four, which is Wednesday at 12:30. You would turn around and play Thursday at 4 p.m. and then you get the break Friday. I don't like this. You get Friday off, but your reward is you play at 9 a.m. on Saturday in the winner's bracket. I've always had an issue with tournaments like that. The Sun Belt did the same thing last year. I don't like guys having to wake up that early. I get it's the trade-off. Am I the only one that thinks that way?
Well, if you recall, they lost that 9:30
they
game
sure
last
did,
year.
And they looked asleep.
Yep.
Yeah, they did. And that would be the case, right?
Yep.
It would be the exact same format.
It would be. And they could play App State again. actually, I think it's the exact same bracket, isn't it? I mean, App State and Troy were in that bracket with them last season.
Now, Dima, if that happens and the coach's wife's suite is right next to mine, ours, I should say, make me behave, okay? Because when the App State coach's wife starts up, you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. She is a handful.
Yeah,
she's enthusiastic. Yeah. Shall we say that?
And I remember one of the Troy people up there. But you know, I think it's crucial if Southern Miss wants to win this tournament, they have to get to Saturday 2-0.
No question.
I'm okay, and y'all can make fun of me next, you know, later this week or whatever. South Alabama could beat us in a chitlin cooking contest, okay? So, I mean, I don't care what it is. I don't want any part of them dudes. I'm not scared of them. I don't – and I think we've broken that, and maybe I'm saying this more tongue-in-cheek. I would feel the best about either one of these teams just having game one depletes them of pitching and going in there.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're hoping for like a 15-inning affair between Coastal and Appalachian State.
And if you get 14 innings from Billy and Nico in game one and game two, you're sitting high cotton rolling into the weekend.
No doubt.
I'm ready, guys.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Final segment on this Monday brought to you by DBAT and DBATHattiesburg.com, located in Hattiesburg, Mississippi on Hardy Street. Great place to go to get instruction. The Pro Shop, batting cage will throw you really whatever type of pitch you want. Fastballs, off speed, right-handers, left-handers. It's all at DBAT in Hattiesburg. Luke Johnson, Bob Getty, Dima Mixon from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg. And Laurel, congratulations on a well-deserved honor for Southern Miss graduate catcher Hannah Borden, already breaking home run records this year. She was named to a third-team NFCA South Region team member. The National Fast Pitch Coaches Association announced over the weekend her first all-region honor in her Southern Miss career. She also earned first-team all-Sun Belt Conference honors earlier this month. We did mention it at the top, but she kind of ran right through it. Dakota Jordan of Mississippi State wins the Boo Ferris Award Trophy. Hunter McIntyre, Coach Oz, I believe Coach Creel may have been up there too, was he did have 17 home runs. He did bat 363. Okay, now he's not batting the 378 or whatever DMAC is, but he had 17 bombs and over 60 RBI. So, anyway, congratulations to DMAC being the finalist.
I couldn't resist. I'm sorry.
Up there. All right. RPI headed into the conference tournament. Sun Belt currently just behind the Big Ten in number five of conference rankings. Southern Miss leading the way at 34, Coastal at 35, Louisiana at 36, James Madison at 44, one more team, Troy at 53, South Alabama, Georgia Southern, Old Dominion, and App State all in the top 75. Sun Belt nine teams right in the top, I think top 76 of RPI. All right, Dima, let's look at these projections. Two of them out have five Sun Belt teams. Which one do you want to start with, Baseball America, D1, or On3?
Let's go D1. That's kind of more prominent.
D1, and you thought that this regional projection might shake out as it did. Southern Miss going to Tallahassee as the 2 seed, Florida State hosting that regional, Florida the 3 seed, Florida A&M the 4 seed. Your thoughts?
I mean, that would be really tough. I'm not going to lie. Facing Florida in the first round and then, you know, hypothetically, let's just say all bets aside, you lose that game to face most likely that Florida A&M, who's a really good ball club, in a 2-4 elimination game. Whew, that would be a tough one. Any regional is going to be tough, but I think that would be really tall task for this Southern Miss team.
D1 also has three other teams in, Louisiana, Troy, and Coastal Carolina from the Sun Belt. Interesting, Coastal's one of D1's last four in. All right, Baseball America or On3?
Go to Baseball America.
Baseball America, it's not updated as of today, so some of you listeners may already know about this. Southern Miss, in this projection, we go to Athens to take on Georgia or to be in the Georgia regional, the Georgia Bulldogs would be the number 10 seed. Southern or the 10 national seed. Southern Miss would be the 2 seed in that regional. Georgia Tech number 3, Bryant number 4.
Yeah, I think that would be fine with me. I mean, I don't really know much about Georgia Tech. I know they took a game from Florida State on Saturday just because I was watching it, but I don't really know a bunch about them. I think they're equally as good as Southern Miss. You know, I think that'd be a lot better draw than Florida. So, Georgia's very, very good. But, you know, some of Southern Miss's pitching could kind of, you know, compete a little bit against the Bulldogs. I don't know if I'd throw to that kid's – his name just slipped me. I'd probably
Charlie Condon. Yeah, Condon hit a J.B. Middleton 97-mile-an-hour fastball.
Yeah, I think I would honestly intentionally walk him every single at-bat. But
Bobby, he has like – it's somewhere in the mid-30s, right?
Yeah, 35 home runs.
I would never let him swing a bat.
Yeah, I would actually walk in a run if I had to, if the bases were loaded.
So the interesting part about Baseball America and on three, 5 Sun Belt teams getting into those projections. James Madison, one of the last 4 in Baseball America. All right, quickly, let's go to on three. On three, this is out today. I do not like this at all. Southern Miss would be headed to Fayetteville. Arkansas, the number 5 national team. Southern Miss, the 2 seed in that regional. Cincinnati and Little Rock, the 3 and 4 seeds, respectively.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Arkansas is a long way away, but I wouldn't mind the 2-3 matchup against Cincinnati. It's just when you play Arkansas, that pitcher, that left-handed pitcher who's throwing lefty 98-99, I doubt they would throw him in game one. They would save him to throw against Southern Miss. He has better numbers than Paul Skeens did last year going into the tournament. So that just tells you what you need to know about him. And he's a lefty, where Southern Miss really struggles hitting lefties all season.
Let's go to Athens. If those are our choices, Luke, let's go to Athens, yeah, Georgia. What do you
I would say out of those 3, I would go to Athens.
No, I know I said this completely different off air, but I ain't afraid of Jack Caglione. Bring him. Don't record that clip. Please don't record that clip.
All right, that wraps it up. Joy Lee McNellis, Andrew Abbedy on the show tomorrow. Dima and I will start broadcasting from Montgomery with Dr. Joe Paul Wednesday at 1 o'clock. Until the next time, everybody, Southern Miss.
Top to the top. Into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free. I go through the world of mission.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.